This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
England swings like a pendulum do. Bobby's on bicycles two by two. Westminster Abbey, the Tower of Big Ben, the rosy red cheeks of the little children. Now if you huff and puff and you finally save enough money up to take your family on a trip across the sea, take a tip before you take your trip, let me tell you where to go. Go to England, oh. England swings like a pendulum do. Bobby's on bicycles two by two. Westminster Abbey, the Tower of Big Ben, the rosy red cheeks of the little children.
A little bit of England there for you. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And of course, on this sad day following the death of Queen Elizabeth II, thought we'd play a little bit of music that reflected England in some way. Delighted to be here with you, along with my partner, Big Ed Davis. We're having a little, we're all moved around differently here in our studio. I guess we got whacked by lightning last night or at some point. And Ed, who is the connoisseur of all things radio, has managed to patch together our equipment, although we're doing it from a different perspective here at Tan Talk Radio. Thank you, Ed, for all the work you must have been doing.
It wasn't fun.
I bet it wasn't fun. What time, may I ask, did we get whacked?
Actually, it was 12:29 yesterday.
This morning?
No, yesterday afternoon. Yeah, right in the middle of Patsy's show.
No kidding.
Yeah, it got real dark, and then everything outside lit up bright white, and the largest crack and boom I've ever heard, and it had to have hit somewhere close to the building.
Just by its rebound effect, it whacks off our stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as bad as some other times, but you know, it's an inconvenience.
Very much.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for keeping us on the air, Ed, really. Anyway, we got a lot going on with the show today, Friday, September the 9th. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Alden Abbott of the Mercatus Center, and we're going to talk to him about how regulators here and in Europe may block a merger in healthcare that could have promising new cancer treatments with the merger. Now, we'll explain that to you when Alden comes on in just a few minutes. And, of course, the death of Queen Elizabeth, perhaps the most beloved figure of our time. We're going to talk about her legacy and the future of Britain without Queen Elizabeth. So stay tuned for that. And a new poll saying that most Americans think the Donald Trump movement undermines democracy. What? What kind of poll would figure that out? We're going to take a look at it. And in our ultimate top 10, if you listened to our last show on Wednesday, we gave you the top 10 most stressful places to drive, metro areas. Well, today the top 10 least stressful places to drive in major metro areas. Stay tuned for that. By the way, hope you have been listening prior to our show to Senior Voice America. They're on Monday through Friday with Tim Bryce and Company, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Great show, Senior Voice America. All right. Well, I could not, even at my advanced age, I cannot remember England without Queen Elizabeth. She has been the queen ever since I was a little boy. She died at the age of 96 at Balmoral Castle yesterday. A year and a half, by the way, since her husband died. And he was like 98 years old. So, you know what that proves, Ed? It proves that if you live in royalty, you live a long time. We got to get ourselves, I don't know, is there a country that we can become king or queen or prince or something? And then we can live a long time.
There's a couple of small islands in the Pacific you might hit up.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. You know, they were married for 73 years.
And she was queen for 70 of those.
Yeah. I think it was 1951 or 52. Must have been 1952.
She was 26 when she.
So that would have been 1952.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as I say, nobody About 90% of the total world's population was born after she became the queen. Mm. I mean, it is amazing. Her final engagement, officially, was Tuesday at Balmoral Castle. By the way, she died at Balmoral Castle in Scotland. Mm. But she appeared with the new prime minister there, Liz Truss. And if you look at the picture of her, she looked very frail.
Yeah.
Really very, very frail. More frail than I had ever seen her.
96 years
exactly.
old.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But she was an amazing woman. You know, she drove an ambulance during World War II?
Yeah, I heard that.
She was an amazing woman.
Yeah.
The entire royal family during World War II stayed in England. Stayed in London. Stayed where they were. They didn't move. They were not going to abandon...
Kind of like what Ukraine is doing in there.
Yeah, exactly. They were not going to abandon their people.
Yeah.
They were going to be there. And by the way, Balmoral Castle apparently was her most favorite place to stay. It's approximately 50 miles west of Aberdeen in Scotland. I've been to Scotland. She said at one time when she first took office that she pledged, quote, "My whole life, whether it be short or long, will be devoted to your service," speaking to her British citizens. Well, it certainly was long. It was the longest reign in Britain's history. And so she's going to be missed. And I think somebody said that, you know, she was royalty, but her demeanor made her royalty. In other words, she was just a great woman in the way that she handled herself. And she never really got into controversy. I think that's why she was so beloved. She stayed out of the political area. She knew enough not to get involved in the politics. Now, her son, King Charles III, might be a little bit more, let's say, outspoken. We'll see what... I wonder if he's taken any advice from his late mother about keeping his lip zipped and allowing the politics to take place in Parliament in England rather than at the Royal Castle. But anyway, it is definitely the end of an era, a great loss for Britain, a great loss for all of the Commonwealth countries. And, of course, most of those Commonwealth countries are individual countries now. They were still connected to the British Empire when she took office in 1952, most of them. But they have all become their own individual countries to a large extent. I was born in one of them, Canada, which was a part of the Dominion, the Commonwealth of Britain at the time. Anyway, she will be missed. On to other things here, things still going on here in the United States, and one of them is this ongoing Department of Justice FBI probe into what they found at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. The Justice Department has informed the court that it will appeal a ruling for the appointment of a special master to review the records that were seized by the FBI during its raid. They do not want somebody to look through the information and decide what the FBI can deal with and what is privileged, and what, in other words, what they cannot deal with. So the Justice Department has filed a notice of appeal, and we'll see where all of that goes. One way or the other, it may go all the way up to the Supreme Court. It will push this issue past the November elections the way it is going. The filing by the Department of Justice says that the government respectfully moves for a partial stay pending its appeal of the ruling for a special master. And they just don't want anybody to tamper with what they're trying to do. You know, meanwhile, Hunter Biden and all the things that are going on over there, that's completely muzzled, stifled. The Department of Justice is keeping that thing from raising its ugly head. Well, we're going to hear a lot, of course, about Donald Trump. There's going to be leaks of all kinds. What's the latest one? He somehow has managed to get nuclear information somewhere or somebody? I don't even know what it is.
I just peeked this morning. You know the top story, of course, the Queen of England passing away. Not on MSNBC. The top story was the Donald Trump raid. And the woman with the showing the files on the floor. America's secrets laying there for other people to see. Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. The hypocrisy that goes along with that political story. So hypocritical. Oh, my goodness. All right. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, can't wait to talk with Alden Abbott of the Mercatus Center. And we're going to talk about a merger in healthcare that could have brought promising new cancer treatments being stifled by regulators.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. And thanks to Big Ed, we're on the air because we got whacked yesterday, right after my show. At least the weather was kind enough to wait until our program ended. Oh, was it yesterday or the day before? Yesterday. Well, I wasn't on yesterday. Forget what I just said. But we're on, and we're delighted to be here. And delighted to have Alden Abbott join us. Alden is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. We're going to talk with him about this, I guess you could call it, these regulators, both in Europe and here in the United States, are blocking a deal that could stifle promising new cancer treatments. Alden, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Absolutely my pleasure, our pleasure. So, there were two companies, I believe they are Illumina and Grail, that wanted to merge. These are healthcare companies. One's a gene sequencing company, I guess. And another one gets involved with testing, cancer test development. They wanted to merge and kind of combine their brains and their equipment and everything else. And all of a sudden, these regulators are stifling that. What is going on there, Alden?
Well, it's a very strange story. Illumina, as you say, makes equipment for DNA sequencing, which can be used for tests, medical tests of various kinds, to detect a variety of diseases and to genetic things. It, 8 years ago, started doing research on possible new blood tests to detect cancers before symptoms appear. And it decided, well, we're going to spin this off, have this research on a separate company. It will allow us to get top managers for that company, they'll be able to develop stuff on their own, less bureaucracy. So they developed an amazing test, unique test, for which can, in principle, detect 50 cancers to one blood test before any symptoms appear. So the problem is that FDA approval is required, okay? And the new small company, Grail, did not have any experience in doing FDA approvals. So Illumina, intelligently enough, wanted to buy up its former subsidiary. They said, look, we're a big company, we have thousands of employees, We know how to get through regulators in the U.S. and elsewhere to get the test approved. By the way, linking the test to our platform will lower the eventual cost to consumers. It should be a win-win, which it was. But why did the Federal Trade Commission and the Europeans say they wanted to block it? Well, they claim that somehow there might be a loss of competition in the market that doesn't exist yet. For these cancer tests for diseases that cannot be currently diagnosed. This market doesn't exist. The only company doing anything in this area is Grail, and their test hasn't been approved. And the FTC and the Europeans had a theory that, well, you're going to discriminate against other test makers. Illumina, you're not going to give them access to your facilities. But that didn't make sense because Illumina had agreed to have long-term contracts, indeed at reduced prices, to third parties who wanted to use their platform. So that made no sense whatsoever. So there's really no justification based on a theoretical harm in a market that doesn't exist versus harm to patients. Why do I say harm to patients? There are long delays now in approving this test. Since until the test is approved, patients will not have access to it. So there are many, many people who might have had cancer detected at an early stage and had early treatment that now are out of luck because of the delays. Now, Europeans, the Federal Trade Commission, administrative judge said, no, FTC, you're wrong. This merger should go ahead, but it's being appealed to the full FTC. Meanwhile, the Europeans, a few days ago, blocked it entirely, which also is strange because as Illumina, the bigger company, pointed out, we don't have facilities in Europe, and they're trying to block our merger. So this is an example of government overreach based on some fanciful theory which makes no sense, where there is real tangible harm to patients and to consumers.
Yes, indeed. Alden, I wonder, and we talk about this frequently, about antitrust laws here in this country. I've often wondered if there isn't really some sort of general anti-corporation hate by a lot of groups. I don't know. They just don't like to see large corporations grow larger. I don't know if, and I've always thought that antitrust regulators and legislation has never increased the availability of companies. I think if they had totally left it in the free market, you'd actually get more competition. Your thought on all of that?
Well, you couldn't be more right. The current leadership in the agencies, in particular Lina Khan, who's the chair of the Federal Trade Commission, she has made a number of comments that suggest she doesn't trust large companies and is suspicious of mergers in general. Now, the agencies last winter issued requests for guidance on new merger guidelines, and the whole context was all the sorts of problems mergers could cause. Mergers might cause problem X, Y, Z, and tell us about how we might do new guidelines. So the suggestion, the warning to businesses is that, hey, we're suspicious of all mergers. What's worse, very routine mergers that were screened by the Federal Trade Commission and let go because they were not competing companies. Now the FTC has said, well, we can't assure you we're not going to sue you later on. There seems to be a general tendency by the new antitrust leadership to distrust all mergers.
Wow.
And this is different. You could criticize antitrust in the past, but in prior Democratic administrations, at least you had economists say, we're going to attack those mergers that are harm consumers, harm competition. But they never said we're generally suspicious of all mergers.
Mm-hmm.
So there is definitely an anti-merger, anti-business slant in what the current administration officials are saying.
Wow. We're talking with Alden Abbott. By the way, he's a former general counsel for the Federal Trade Commission, and he's currently a senior research fellow with the Mercatus Center, so he certainly knows the inner workings, I guess, of the FTC. As a general counsel, Alden, did you see in your tenure, did you see stifling of things you thought, my goodness, you know, not just in healthcare, but maybe in other areas? I wish they wouldn't do that because we could arrive at a more, I don't know, an advanced place a little bit quicker if they wouldn't try to stop this particular merger. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, the role of a general counsel, you know, is to defend the commission in federal court and to advise before a case is brought. So I did give some advice. I mean, I do think that with the best of intentions, career lawyers often are rather aggressive and come to the table with a general suspicion of motives. The harm that might be caused by anti-competitive action. I think economists are more open to arguments about business, about efficiencies, and so on. So I think these are good civil servants. They aren't trying to do anything bad, but there is a mindset that is suspicious of mergers and business activities in general. And the older I've gotten, and having spent many years in government, I think you learn that market generally corrects mistakes. After the fact, if it doesn't, you can go in. But by and large, the errors by government in prosecuting a case which shouldn't have been brought based on some theory, those tend to be more serious than just letting the market work things out on its own.
Right, indeed. And, you know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that speaking about cancer itself, here is a disease. We have been trying to solve this disease, which I know it's actually many different diseases, but manifesting, in the explosion of bad cells in the body, etc. We have been trying to solve this disease for so long, and we've got these two companies, Illumina and Grail, which have, you know, devoted a good portion of their companies to trying to solve these things. And here we go with government kind of stifling it. It just drives me crazy. I'm wondering if we had totally left the marketplace to its own devices, really, if we would have solved cancer by now.
Well, it, I don't know, but it's certainly possible. I mean, look, FDA has a very complicated series of tests, and that's understandable. There were real concerns about medications getting out there that have horrible effects. Think of thalidomide that caused serious birth defects about 60 years ago. But there is a concern that these government testing agencies are very bureaucratic. And I think the last administration, President Trump, suggested a right to try, that people should have the ability to have access to experimental drugs if they, say, are suffering from a fatal disease. I think that more experimentation and more market freedom and let people make their own decisions is a good way to go. I mean, you're going to have regulation for better or worse, sometimes often for worse, but I think the United States should be leading the way and saying here are more market-oriented ways to test drugs to allow them to be used for multiple purposes. And our regulatory bureaucracy in healthcare is so all-encompassing. It really needs badly to be reformed.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And when we had the COVID-19, didn't Trump actually kind of slide some of these regulations away to allow quick development of a vaccine?
That's right. I mean, I think it sort of, and actually the vaccine developed because of mRNA technologies that were patented. But these technologies were developed many years ago by independent companies. And now there's an attempt by the U.S. government to say, well, we don't want the companies to be able to get money for their patent licenses to other countries. We think it's too important. But that also shows a problem with the administration. They don't seem to understand innovation. If you don't give opportunities for companies to get returns, say on things like vaccines, which were amazing discoveries based on groundbreaking technologies, you're going to get less innovation. It's going to be riskier. Most research in the biomedical field does not succeed. So you have to get a return on those investments that do succeed, that do produce cures. And that's something that government should not get in the way of.
And finally, Alden, what do you think is going to happen here with this blocking of the merger? Is it a done deal? Are they going to be able to appeal this? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's been blocked in Europe. You can't appeal to a court in Europe. So recently, the European courts have actually overturned a couple of decisions by the European Commission. The FTC is going to hold a hearing on their administrative judge. They're probably going to hold a merger as illegal. That will be appealed. So even if, after several appeals in Europe and the U.S. court said, oh, the merger should be allowed to go ahead, you would have lost 2 or 3 years, if not more. And you still won't have the approved tests. And that means that many people perhaps will die or be seriously ill because their cancers were not detected, which they could have been detected had the tests merger been approved and the tests been released earlier.
It's so frustrating. It really is. I really appreciate your coming on and talking about this. Such an important topic, Alden. Look forward to talking with you again down the road.
I do, too, and thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely our pleasure. Thank you. Alden Abbott of the Mercatus Center. All righty. We are going to take our break. When we come back, a new poll says most Americans think the Donald Trump movement undermines democracy. What? We are going to take a look.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vacara, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over 4 decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Everybody say yeah.
We are back on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. I'm going to talk a little bit about this crazy poll that's come out recently. Before we do that, though, I did want to bring up this story I found kind of interesting. A group of over 100 migrants from the southern border, they were moved up to Chicago, and Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Chicago being a sanctuary city, so you'd think she would have been delighted to receive them, but not so much. She took them and she sent them into the suburbs, outside of the county. Cook County is where Chicago is. She sent them to neighboring DuPage County. And so much for being a welcoming sanctuary city.
Did she at least arm them?
Yes. Well, she's going out. They're going out of Chicago. They're going to actually be safer in the suburbs.
I don't know about that.
Well, I live there. Okay. I can tell you that. In fact, where they dropped them off is I could have almost walked to the place. Outside of Chicago in DuPage County.
Is it in an upper part of town?
It's not in town. It's outside of the county. and it's a more suburban.
Okay.
But it's a safer area. At least it was a safer area when
I was. A white collar.
Yeah, it's more white collar area. Yeah.
I mean, if you dump them off in the richest part of the neighborhood,
that's what she was doing. She was intending to do that. Where is the love? Where is the love in Chicago for these people? Here's what she said. She lashed out at the Texas governor. She even questioned his religion. She lashes out at Governor Abbott, this is Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, for transporting the migrants, calling it, quote, unacceptable. Unacceptable. She held that comment during a press conference. And she went on to say, my frustration comes from the actions of the governor of Texas. There could be a level of coordination and cooperation, but he chooses to do none of those things. Instead, he chooses to send human beings across the country to an uncertain destination. Well, wait a second. It's a certain destination. It's more uncertain in Texas. That's not a sanctuary area. She's these people are going to a sanctuary city. They should be welcomed, like you said, Ed, with open arms.
The mayor of New York, he's questioning whether this is for real, and I said he sent a delegation. I haven't heard anything what the delegation is reporting. You don't have to be there long.
Maybe they snuck over the border to Mexico.
Maybe.
And they didn't want to go back to New York. I wouldn't want to go back.
Maybe Mayor Beetlejuice would do the same thing.
On to this other story. I find this rather interesting. Let's take a look at it here. Days after Biden, the president, gave a fiery speech there in Philadelphia attacking Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans as an extremist threat, they got a new poll. This is a Reuters Ipsos poll, which was completed Wednesday, that's 2 days ago, and it finds a majority of Americans believe Trump's movement is undermining democracy. 58% of the people that responded to the poll.
Well, you know they have that threatening phrase that they're going by.
It must be working.
Make America great again. It's so threatening.
Well, they call it, yeah, but whatever the Democrats are doing, I'm beginning to think it might be working to scare people about the Trump movement.
Of course they're going to scare.
Don't you?
They're going to pull out all the stops. Yeah.
Look, 58%, and listen to this, 1 in 4 Republicans are saying that.
Hmm.
So maybe they said the fault. They say the Trump's Make America Great Again movement is threatening America's democratic foundations. How do they arrive at that?
They don't.
Other
tell you
than
that.
They just hear somebody parrot the fact that they don't like the MAGA movement.
You know, I saw a commercial last night for Joe Biden, a promo for his reelection,
or
whatever.
Really?
And the top one was the fact that you're going to get lower prescriptions.
Yeah,
he doesn't
right.
say it doesn't take effect till 6 years.
Yeah. For half the people who will be dead before that.
Yeah.
Waiting for the prescriptions to keep their lives going.
Yeah.
They're not lowering the costs of anything when you get the government involved. That's lesson number one. It's just an absolute economic fact that when you get a third party involved in the creation of a product, the cost of the product goes up. And nobody can tell me that the cost of, health care before Obamacare, nobody can tell me that it went down. It went up. It went up. Now, people think, oh, yeah, but I noticed that my monthly premium went down. Yeah, and you also have to pay about $10,000 before it kicks in.
Yeah.
I mean, do people not understand what Milton Friedman said so many years ago? There is no such thing as a free lunch.
No.
Somebody is paying it.
Yeah,
it's like the student loans. But we can't get it through our thick heads. Cannot get it through our thick heads. So I look at this poll and I go, how many bimbos answered this? That, you know, just have no concept of what our country is supposed to be all
about.
Paul,
do you think these polls are real?
I begin to wonder.
Come on, they're not. It's part of the whole game. It's part of the game.
Reuters is a respected media organization. The Ipsos poll is supposed to be a respected polling company. But I find it very hard to believe. Now, I know a lot of people don't like Trump. Are they carrying over their dislike of his personality into the movement itself? Because most all the people, if you ever attend a rally or you find out the people that actually go, are the nicest people in the world. They don't hurt anybody. They're not there for violence. In fact, it's the opposite of those rallies. Every time you watch a Trump rally, you know those people are it's one of the safest places you can be. I'd much rather be there than at one of those rallies for the far left.
I went there and got audio, and I didn't have any Trump gear or anything on, and they were just as nice as can be, you know?
They are. I think they have a better understanding of what we're supposed to be. I really do. It's very frustrating to see these kinds of things come out. But I wonder if this is not an accurate poll. It obviously highlights the sharp polarization of politics. It says here 59% of respondents said Biden's speech will further divide the country. So actually, it's about the same as the number of people that feel maybe they don't like either side. 58% against the MAGA Republicans, 59% against Biden's speech.
Well, when it comes down to 2024, Biden is not going to be the ticket. Is not going to be on the ticket.
That's true. Another thing it says here: 60% of Republicans don't think Trump's MAGA movement represents the majority of the party. Now there could be some truth in that. What do you think?
It could be. Could be.
You know, there are Republicans that like what Trump tried to do. They might not like the guy personally, and we've talked about that. I think there's a large number of people that feel that way.
Well, those are the ones that voted for Biden. They didn't vote for Trump.
They like Trump's... No, I don't think so. I think they voted for Trump. Mm. They like what Trump did. They don't necessarily like his personality. I think they voted for Trump. I think a lot of people do that. They liked his politics. There are people that will actually... They're more concerned with a person's demeanor than they are with what they will do.
Yeah.
That group, for sure.
Yeah, it could be exhausting at times when he does some things. But
there's no question. He's always looking for somebody to yell at.
But that's the color of the car that you bought. You know, you knew what you were getting.
Well,
some people at first they thought it was great. You know, it's a nice, refreshing change. And sometimes he does go over the top. But that's
he
who he is.
Yeah.
And you know what? The bottom line is what he was doing was working.
The things that he
had
was doing was working.
Had it not been for the pandemic and that crap, we wouldn't even be talking about it, for crying out loud.
I think if he had won, we wouldn't have had the war in the Ukraine.
No.
I really don't think it would have occurred. I think he had a sort of an interesting, whatever you want to call it, dance with Putin on that kind of thing.
I think he just made it very clear that he wasn't, and you know, he didn't say it through a second channel or anything like that. He just made things very clear.
Yeah.
You know, but now you've got Putin with Russia and what he's doing, China. You've got the round little guy in North Korea starting up again.
Yeah. And look what's going on in Iran.
In Iran.
And we're giving away the store, you know, in Iran. Do you remember when, speaking of Iran, do you remember when Obama delivered suitcases of money?
Suitcases, there was a
on
pallet.
A plane,
there was
on
a
the
pallet.
Air. Remember that?
Yes.
Boy, the media certainly kind of suppressed that
one.
That was okay.
Yeah.
We were paying off Iran.
Yep.
It was a bribe.
Yeah. What was the explanation? That was money that was owed to them?
It was money supposedly that was... Look.
When you consider Iran...
They can figure out any way they want to make up for it. When you deliver suitcases of cold hard cash,
sure,
it sounds like a mobster transfer.
I would consider Iran an enemy of the United States. This is how you pay back your enemies right there with the number one sign. You don't hand them a pallet full of cash.
And what did it get us? They're closer now than they have ever been to a nuclear weapon.
Sure they are.
If they haven't gotten it already. I worry more
it's
about...
It's like giving an arsonist a pack of matches.
Nuts. I worry more about Iran and their religious nuts.
Yes, that's the problem.
Than I do Russia with a nuclear
weapon.
That's
the problem. But the thing is that if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, Israel is the one that is really going to be on their toes.
Yeah, I think they will be on their toes. Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, I want to talk a little sports with Ed, and also the top 10 major metro areas with the least stressful commuting.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Even when we get hit by lightning, we are here. 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. We are so glad you are listening to us. You could be doing a lot of other things. Hey, maybe you are. So therefore, Big Ed puts all our shows on tape, on podcast. And all you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R. And click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows, latest show at the top. You'll know the guest. You'll know the top 10. God bless Big Ed. All right. Before we, I want to get into a very interesting sports question in a moment with you, Ed. But before we do that, going back to the death of Queen Elizabeth, the current new UK Prime Minister, her name is Liz Truss, and she met with the Queen a couple of days ago. I can't remember if it was Tuesday or Monday. And it was the last official thing that the Queen did. Well, Liz Truss has ended England's ban on fracking. They are now reopening the door to domestic shale gas production. I think it's great. I think that this woman is a very conservative prime minister, and I'm hoping she is in the guise of Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher was one of the great great prime ministers.
Yeah.
Got along so well with Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you hear about this story yet? Did you know that a girls' volleyball team was playing? It was a black college, and it was Duke University, and a volleyball player by the name of Rachel Richardson claimed that there was, and they were playing Brigham Young. Now, Brigham Young University, basically, let's be honest, is mostly white because it's Mormon.
Right.
Okay, Brigham Young was a Mormon. So she claimed, this Rachel Richardson on Duke, that there was a fan in the Brigham Young crowd hurling racial insults at her, including using the N-word. Well, they rolled the tape on this thing, and they actually had a tape of the crowd, and they could not find the person that she claimed was doing this doing it. But it resulted in all kinds of play on ESPN, CNN, ABC. And then when it got debunked, not a word. Not a word. From these media major
outlets. Yeah, because, I mean, if you're... Someone else has got to hear you doing it. Somebody else has got to hear you doing
it. They had both the sound and the tape, and they couldn't, right. and they debunked it.
Yeah. No follow-up.
But you don't see the follow-up going, you know that story here on ESPN that we're talking about all the time?
No.
Why is that? Do they want to create racial divide?
Sure, it's a story.
Yeah.
It's a story.
I guess you're right. Okay. Also, we're starting the football season. In fact, we started it last night.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very interesting game between Buffalo and the Los Angeles Rams last night. I don't even remember who ended up winning.
It was a good game, and the Buffalo Bills wound up winning that one. I think it was 34-10. So it was pretty
Buffalo's,
much a blowout.
Buffalo is back.
Yeah, but it's one game.
I know, but I've been hearing good things about the Buffalo
Matthew
Bills.
Stafford, I believe, threw three picks and got sacked seven times.
The guy that's a quarterback for the Rams.
Well, the Rams, yes.
Well, the Rams were the Super Bowl champs, so there must be something going on with Buffalo.
And I'll tell you.
They went to play at Los Angeles,
yes,
too.
And I was just going
to
say that the Bills fan club is well represented around the league. Because I have to say, it was at least a 50-50 crowd.
Really?
Rams and, oh yeah. And I'll tell you, the Rams are going to have a hard time selling out, believe it or not. They'll have a hard time selling out that stadium.
It's one of the newest, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So what about our beloved Buccaneers? They start the season on Sunday night.
It's going to be Sunday night against the Cowboys. National TV. Hey, Bucks.
Are you excited about the season with Tom
anxious.
Brady?
I'm anxious to see what it's going to look like.
Do we have any key injuries before the season starts?
Other than our center is out for a couple of months, it looks like. Everybody's... That extra week helped get some people healthy, so...
Well, good luck to the Bucks, right? We'll be following.
And the Rays.
That's what I'm going to ask you next.
The Rays are just having a great run right now.
Did they win again?
They did. They swept the Red Sox. We talked about that. And I told you that if the Yankees could lose some, with the Rays heading up there this weekend, it could make for an interesting series. Now, the Yankees are 4.5 games ahead of the Rays right now.
Wouldn't it be funny after all this season that the Rays win the division?
If they go up there and sweep, there's going to be a lot of complaining in New York. Because here they had a 14-game lead at one point. 14-game lead.
Do they have an injury problem?
Yes. They have injuries and guys are just slumping. And, they came out like world beaters. Yeah, they're going to be the greatest team ever. And I said, hey, wait a minute. You know, there's a whole half a season to go. Injuries, slumps, everything.
Well, it's making it very exciting.
The only thing is that Aaron Judge is at 55 home runs.
Now, he plays for the Yankees.
He plays for the Yankees. Got two to tie Roger Maris.
Wow.
At 61. No, not two. He's got six to tie.
He's got six more
to Roger Maris.
Home runs he's got to hit to tie.
And then to get to the record, it's major league record, it's 70-something. Yeah.
So, let's see. This is about the... So, how many games left do we have? About 30?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Do you think he can
pretty
do
close.
It?
Yeah, I think he beats Roger Maris's record. I don't
Wouldn't
know about
that
the home
be
run
something?
Thing. Yeah, and the thing is that the home run record is tarnished because, you know... Mark McGwire was juiced. Come on. There's no doubt he was on steroids.
Yeah, Roger Maris is the... We know Roger Barry Maris
Bonds.
was not on juice.
No.
All right.
I'd still like him to pee in a cup anyway.
All right. Very good. It is time for our top 10. And Ed, as you remember, the last time we did the show, we gave you the top 10 most stressful U.S. communities. Do you happen to remember what was number one? Let's see if you remember.
Oh.
Come on.
You know, with all this thing going
New York,
on. Here.
I know.
It was New York.
Yeah, it was New York City. You're right. Okay. This is going to be a little harder.
Remember, L.A. was number two.
No, it wasn't.
No, L.A. wasn't. L.A. didn't even make the list. That's right.
That's correct. Yeah. We talked about the fact it did not make the list. It was Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
Okay. Here are the top 10 least stressful communities. By the way, this comes from resume.io, and it's based on commute-themed tweets showing signs of stress. And don't ask me how they figured it out, because I don't know. All right, here we go. Number 10. You see, because we got hit
by... No, I had to move the drums.
Because we got hit by lightning, Ed can't quite reach the drums in the little studio we put him in.
I didn't get a chance to test the drums, and I did.
All right. Number 10 is Miami.
Miami.
Now, that surprised me. I would think it would be pretty stressful, but...
A lot of congestion in downtown
Number 10 is Miami. Number 9. Honolulu, Hawaii is number 9.
Really?
First of all, how do you get your car over there?
And how can
everybody walks?
How can there be an interstate?
There's no cars.
How can there be an interstate highway in Hawaii? It does not connect to another state.
It would be one hell of a long bridge,
yeah,
wouldn't it? Number 8. Gilbert, Arizona. Now, I think Gilbert is in the Phoenix area.
Okay.
I think. It's either Tucson or Phoenix. Number 7. Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, Greensboro, I know North Carolina State University is in Greensboro. But that whole area, you know, you got Charlotte and you got Raleigh, Durham, you know, all of that.
Yes.
They're all close by. Number 6. Lansing, Michigan is number 6.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you got the college there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You do have one of the colleges there. Uh-huh. You got one, the main one's in Ann Arbor.
Yes.
Okay, number 5. Boise, Idaho.
Really?
Yeah. Boise, Idaho is, you know, a very, from what I understand, Idaho's a very beautiful state. And there's a lot of potatoes there. Maybe you get behind a potato truck and you get slowed down. But other than that, it's pretty good. Okay. Number 4. Tucson, Arizona. Now, we had Gilbert, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And now we got Tucson, Arizona. I guess they have wide open spaces out there.
Well, in some of these smaller towns, maybe they're not, the roads are not keeping up with the amount, with the population.
Yeah, but these are the least stressful.
Oh, the least stressful. That's right.
Did you think we were doing the most?
No.
Least?
Least.
Yeah, so they must be doing a good job.
Yeah.
Okay, number 3. Madison, Wisconsin. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Madison, Wisconsin. I believe it. You know, University of Wisconsin is there. It's mm-hmm. about 80 miles west of Milwaukee.
Mm.
Okay. Number 2. Omaha, Nebraska. Never been to Omaha. Right smack dab in the middle of our country. Everything is, you can get from here to there rather quickly, but you gotta go a long way to get there.
Mm.
Okay? All right, what do you think is number 1, Ed? I'll give you a very big hint.
Okay.
It's in the Northeast. And this is the least. The least,
yeah.
In the Northeast.
Oh, I don't know. Portland, Maine. How about Maine?
You know, I should have said more middle Atlantic. Oh. I was unfair on that one. It was more middle Atlantic. It's actually Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And they're the very least stressful. So if you want to go somewhere and get from here to there, Virginia Beach, Virginia.
There you go.
All right. Thank you so much. We will be back on Monday. You drive safely this weekend. We want to see and hear from you. And remember, freedom works.
Tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
After a day off on Thursday, the Rays, who have the top wild card spot in the American League, now are in New York to take on the top team in the American League East in the New York Yankees. And hoping offensively they can pick it up against a tough team in the Yankees.
But here's the 0-2 pitch, driven to the gap in right center. There's the first hit, and it might go all the way to the wall, and it does. Over to go dig it out is Verdugo. Mejia on his way to second base with a stand-up double.
Rays were off on Thursday after a 5-1 homestand. Tampa Bay won its last two series with New York and will look to pick up where they left off tonight with Drew Rasmussen on the Hill. Airtime on the Rays Baseball Network at 6:30. With the Rays Report, I'm Yul Solas.
Catch the Rays all season on the Rays Radio Network. For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.
Did you ever think about hosting your very own radio show? Here's how.
Hey, Tampa Bay, did you know you can have a one-hour program on the Tantalk Radio Network for less than the cost of one 60-second announcement on many Tampa Bay stations? That's right. We'll put you on the radio for less than the cost of one 60-second announcement on many stations. Check it out today. Use your program to promote yourself, your business, or someone else's business. Call Lola Jean, the broadcast queen, 727-510-7622. That's 510-7622. Call Lola Jean now to check out your...